Hey everyone, welcome to episode 247, Daddy Issues. Welcome to the Harmony in the Home podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Hutchison. I'm a counselor, a life coach, and most importantly, an imperfect mom doing this work right along with you. And my goal on our podcast is to go from chaos to calm, feel less frazzled, and have more fun within your four walls to have more harmony in your home. So we hear about daddy issues all the time, but before I get into daddy issues, I want to talk to you about pocket coaching, which I've been talking to you about for the last couple weeks. And that is where you and I have ongoing chats via Voxer, which is like voicemail meets walkie-talkie, about things that you're struggling with, challenges, questions you have, examples that are going on in your life day to day. And then I will Vox you back with strategies, tips, times I've been through it, normalizing it for you as much as possible, and sharing a lot of stories that happen in my life, because the more that I can share things that are happening in my life, the more that you can see, oh, this is pretty normal. Because a lot of times, if you've only had one kid, two kids, you don't have any point of comparison. I have only two kids, which it, not only, but I've had experience with so many students of all ages and stages and so many issues and so many problems and so many strengths. So I can probably find a story in my history of where I've dealt with that as a teacher or a counselor or as a coach. So I can share that example with you to normalize it and also say, this worked for this person. Maybe this will work for you too. So if you're interested, go to coachingkelly.com, go to the Work With Me tab and sign up there, and we can chat on Voxer and keep each other accountable to stay conscious in our lives in any relationship. So I want to talk to you about daddy issues, and this is a very good topic to talk about because when I went to Tony Robbins, one thing he said that really stuck with me, he said, whose love did you crave when you were growing up? And I was like, what is he talking about? Whose love did I crave? I had love flowing freely from both parents, but unconsciously, whose love did you crave the most? It doesn't mean who did you love more or who did you think needed to love you more in a better way. Usually little girls crave their daddy's love, and usually little boys crave their mommy's love. That's not always tried and true, but that is in most situations. So I was going to say daddy issues and mommy issues because I know a lot of dads listen to this too. So just plug and play where it fits for you. But one thing he said is, whose love did you crave? And immediately I thought of my dad. And I have talked about my dad so much on this podcast. He was such an amazing human and loved his girls with such beautiful, unconditional love that it was so pure. And when I was talking in his eulogy, I said he was like a golden retriever in a human's body because he just loved not only his daughters, but if you met him in person, he just loved everything about you and he would find out everything there was about you. If you told him where you worked, he would go online and find your website of where you worked, not in a stalker way, but just in a way of like, oh, I didn't know you worked with 1,000 employees. What's that commute like for you? He was so overly interested in everybody's life and such a cute, non-stalkerish way because he knew that's the way he could connect with you. And so even if you had the love of the person that you're thinking about, it's still okay that you craved it. If you didn't have it, you probably craved it as well. And Tony Robbins talks about the love that you crave and how it creates such problems and such strengths in our adult relationships. He says, when we're children, everything in the world is foreign and new. We rely on our primary caretaker to teach us not only about the world around us, but how to interact with the people in our lives. Once we gain a better understanding of the world, we begin to focus more inwardly, forming an identity. Our identity is derived from our primary caretakers. In order to gain the love and acceptance of a parent or guardian, we structure our identities based on how we think they want us to be. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Not only did we do that as kids, but our kids are doing that right now. For instance, if you believe that your parent valued kindness above all else, then when you were kind, they praised you. You might have grown into someone who's a very nurturing personality. So what do I always talk about with my parents? They were like ooey gooey lovers of us. And they just loved on us all the time. And all three of us went into teaching. Like what? And we don't even come from a family of teachers. But that came from the love that they gave us. It felt so good. We just wanted to give it back to the world. On the other hand, if you felt neglected by a parent, you might find that you were trying to win someone's affection, that you had to go over the top or neglect others in turn. Even after this caretaker has passed, this craving for their love is still part of your identity. I was like, okay, keep talking, Tony. We develop a craving for love from this prominent person in our lives, and this craving stays with us well into adulthood. Whose love did you crave the most as a child? By the time we reach adulthood, our identities have had many years to form and set. Curious as to why your identity is the way it is today? You have to take a look back at your childhood to understand why you act the way you do. It all comes down to examining how you were raised, who raised you, and the specific ways in which you were raised to crave attention from your primary caretaker. Stick with me here. This is so huge. Once you get this, it's like, oh, utopia. Sorry if you're wearing AirPods. I just was way too loud. The good news is that by examining your childhood, you can figure out why you act the way you do. This provides powerful insight into your childhood and how you interact with those around you as an adult. Your identity shapes your entire life. All of your choices and interactions are dictated by your identity. So by closely examining what it is that makes you tick, you can adjust your behavior and work on modifying your patterns that may have been with you since childhood. Craving affection is a normal part of life. I want to say that again. Craving affection is a normal part of life. When you're little, it's like air to you. That's Kelly talking, not Tony. By understanding who shaped your life and identity as a child, you can better understand your story. What? Isn't that powerful? So why do I share this? I share this because the way that you craved love when you were younger, you are now most likely doing when you're older. Now, we are in a different relationship when we are older. So we put a filter almost over our loved ones, and we expect mostly our spouse, sometimes our kids, sometimes our parents, sometimes our sisters, sometimes our greedy grandpappy, sometimes our bosses. We put almost like a filter over their face, and it's like they are our father or they are our mother, if that's whose love you craved. And then we expect that person to act in the way that our mother or father did, whichever love you crave the most. Now, when we're first dating someone, usually it's in alignment. So we are feeling like, whoa, I feel like I've known you all my life, because they have a lot of traits. They have the same energy as the love that you craved when you were younger. Now, however, if they don't love you in the way that the love that you craved, then we think something's gone wrong and we throw the baby out with the bathwater and we think they don't love us. That's why we get so emotionally hurt when they say something or they do something or they don't do something. Because we put our daddy issues onto our spouse, sometimes onto our kids, sometimes onto another family member. And when we can separate the two and realize that our spouse is not our father, our spouse is not our mother, when we can separate the two and not go to our spouse with that needy and graspy love that we had when we were 5 years old, then we have reached complete emotional adulthood and independence and separation and creating a new relationship with our spouse or child or said person, instead of expecting them to love us the way that our mother or father did. When you can separate the two, that is when you have true freedom. So how this showed up for me, and I didn't even know that this was happening, is I talk about my dad all the time. He was like the epitome of the perfect father on all the things. I could tell you stories after stories that would make your jaw drop. One time, I wish I would have shared this story. One time we were driving down the street. This literally happened like last year. We're driving down the street and two people were trying, he was driving and he was going over in the other lane. And then the other lady had her blinker on and she was already like there. And so they were in each other's blind spots. And my dad was in the wrong. They didn't even come close to an accident or anything like that. But he kind of cut her off and then he kind of went back into his own lane. He's like, whoa, sorry, she was in my blind spot. And she honked and, you know, we get up to the red light. My dad rolls down the window. I'm like, oh, geez, what is he going to say? I wasn't worried, but I was like, oh, my gosh. It was this like another lady. And he goes, I'm really sorry about that. You were in my blind spot. I didn't see you. And she's like, oh, that's OK. I was just letting you know that I was there. I mean, Most people have road rage, but my golden retriever father is rolling down the window to apologize that he accidentally almost went into her lane when she was there. It wasn't like a close call as far as an accident, but I was like, oh my. And she was like, oh, that's okay. Have a blessed night. He's like, you too. So that's the kind of love that I had growing up. So what happened is when I was married to David, when we first got married, I still am. I talk like it's in past tense. I expected him to do all the things that my dad did because my dad was very verbose and very wordy and very just always would tell us. So then when David wasn't very verbose and telling me all the time and writing notes on my pillow, and I was like, what is going on? What has gone wrong? And my dad would always tell us, he's proud of me. He's proud of us. He's proud of my sisters. He'd always say, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. We could rob a bank. He's like, I'm so proud of you that you only robbed one bank and not two banks. Like, way to go, Kelly. Now that's hyperbole, but you get the point. So I'm married to David and I'm like, I just want you to say you're proud of me. He's like, okay, I'm proud of you. Like, I am, but like, it doesn't happen naturally for him to say that he's proud of me, because he says it in a different way. He says it in a roundabout way. Or he'll say, I love you. Or he's like, thanks for doing that. Or he'll say it in a different way. But because it wasn't the way my dad did it, then I thought something had gone wrong. But once I was able to separate and have a relationship with my father and then a relationship with my husband, and all David's job was to be David and love me in the way that he loves me, he's more acts of service, where my dad's love language is more words of affirmation. So David's like, you know, sweeping the pool. He's cleaning the house. I go out of town. He's done all the sheets and towels. He wants to make the house look perfect when I get home. And that's his love language, is acts of service. So once I was able to realize, like, oh, that's my love language for my father, but this is my love language for my spouse, and not mix the two, then my daddy issues went away. And I just let David be David and my dad be my dad. And I get to step in emotional adulthood and love me the way I love to be loved, which is with words of affirmation. So I'm constantly using mantras to remind myself, like, I'm not a loser human. And maybe give yourself a little more credit than you're giving yourself. And once you figure this out, it is true freedom, because you can delineate and separate the two versus expecting your spouse to be more like your father or mother, or to be less than your mother or father. So if you had a neglectful parent, a lot of times we become very needy and graspy because we want them to fill up our holes, H-O-L-E-S, that our parents left behind. But when we realize that we're a W-H-O-L-E, a whole human being, we don't need other people to do it, because number one, they can't do it. And number two, they're really bad at it. And number three, they can't do it even if they wanted to. So separating and stepping into emotional adulthood, putting your mommy and daddy issues, kicking them to the curb, and dealing with those separate and not letting it infiltrate your current relationships. And this happens a lot with kids, a lot with parents, a lot with our spouses, a lot with our most vulnerable relationships. But once you're able to kind of tear the part, two of them apart from each other, you have true freedom and you have unconditional love. And when you have that light and fluffy energy within you, between you, you'll have much more harmony in the home. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Hey, mamas, thanks for listening. If you had any ahas, clicks, or those lightning bolt moments while listening, you have to check out my free parenting bootcamp, where we take all of this to the next level, and we try to create even more awakenings for ourselves so that we can connect more with our kids and never yell at them again. You can sign up at www.coachingkelly.com. And if you really want to fill up my love cup, send me an email of what your aha was, what your click was, what was that lightning bolt moment while you were listening. I want nothing more in life than for you to have harmony in your home and to learn how to be an imperfect mom like me, which allows your kids to be imperfect too, each and every day. Thanks for listening.